So over the decades, when we think of DJs, people picture someone behind a turntable, spinning, cutting up tunes alongside a mic, man. But the art form has changed over the years. So DJs in their own right have been the center of attention, celebrity, crowd maker, and many of them have gone on to craft a market for themselves with their own talent. One such man who's done that is my guest right now, Fat Man Scoop. Thanks for speaking to us on Code of the Streets.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it. Thank you for being here.
No, man. Thank you very much for talking to us. I mean, you have a long history in the game. Just tell us how far back that actually goes.
1985.
Really? You
know, 13, something like that. And just, you know, trying to be a rapper, getting in the game, signed a deal with Teddy Riley in 1990. And
Teddy Riley?
Yeah, Teddy Riley is one of the reasons why I'm even here.
Tell us some more. I didn't know that story.
The main people in my life that made it so that I'm here are DJ Chillwell, Dougie Fresh, Teddy Riley, Monica Lynch, and Tom Silverman from Tommy Boy, Dow Lockhart, who took a chance on me and let me be an intern, Steve Smith at Hot 97. Wow. And you know, those are the people who you know, Mark Petricone and the Crooklyn Clan. These are all the people that had a part in me being who I am today.
So you were around, obviously you were around the time then Teddy was involved with making Dougie Fresh the show, because I heard an interesting...
No. That was a little bit before me, but I did know, I was still a baby, but I did know who Teddy Riley was, and I did know he was from my town of Harlem, and I did know that, you know, he was making noise, and at that time when they made the show, it was maybe about 4 years before I really came on the scene and started to cut my teeth as trying to be a rapper and do shows. I may have been, when the show came out, I might have been 10.
Okay.
10, 11.
Yeah.
But, you know, then I wound, because I'm from Harlem, I wound up being in the Dougie Fresh system through my mentor, DJ Chillwell. Mm-hmm. And you know, everything took off from there.
So how did you gravitate to becoming a DJ then? What led you down to that exact path? You talked about the influence. What led you to make that decision you ought to get into that?
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I just started DJing 2 years ago. People think that I'm a DJ because I was a presenter on Hot 97.
Yeah.
I was in the clubs and you would see me behind the turntables and because of the records. Mm. I'm a mic man by nature. Okay. But what happened was I would go in the club and I was at the mercy of the DJ for that night. Mm. So if the DJ was horrible, then I'm horrible. Mm. And one time I actually was coming out of a club in Watford. And I had come out the club and it's like a white girl in front of me, walking in front of me. She didn't know that I was even there, or she didn't know that. She said, Fat Man Scoop was whack tonight. He was terrible tonight.
Oh.
And I said, you know something? But it was the DJ. I wasn't making the decisions. The DJ was.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, from that day, I turned to my role manager, Peel Cole, Virchie, and I said, yo, I'm not going to die. If I'm going to live and die, it's going to be on my own name. Mm. Not on what somebody else do. If I live and die, it's going to be on the decisions that I make.
Yeah, I hear that.
And that was it right there. I was off and running, man. Yeah. That's when I started rocking out with doing what I had to do.
Yeah. Tell us how the Crooklyn Clan came about then, because I always find that interesting. I remember buying 88 Records as a DJ myself, and I love that they fuse current songs of that time and, you know, what we call mashup now. You know, you were instrumental in doing that. Yeah. You know, how did that come about?
I mean, Crooklyn Clan, to be honest with you, they were the pioneers of mashup, I believe.
Yeah.
Those records, we had a formula. Take the record this hot, mix it with something, maybe you mix it with something else here or there, or you take a combination of the three hottest records. So what I was doing, my part of that particular situation was, I was like, take all the hottest ish and throw it into one. So this dude only got to play one record. And if you DJ, you could just keep hitting that record back and forth for a minute, then go to the next part of the record, hit that ish, and it gives you more than one chance to be heard in the club at night. And but you know, the way I met the Crooklyn Clan was I knew DJ Riz from a radio show he used to do with a guy named Wildman Steve back in the days where there was no radio station, no BBC One, no Capital Extra, no Capital One, and none of that shit. It was just all on university radio. And they had Wild Man Steve and DJ Riz had a radio show. And I used to be a radio plugger. And I was responsible for going to make sure my records get played on that show. And one night I was coming into Hot 97 because I was trying to figure out how to make this record to put my brother through university. And I had the training from the Dougie Fresh days of me, you know, performing and doing all that kind of stuff. And I said, well, I got to find out, you know, I heard this record, Is New York in Now?
Yes.
By DJ Cool. Mm-hmm. And at the end it said, DJ Scissor Hands, Crook McClan, DJ Wiz, Crook McClan. So who the fuck are these guys?
Yeah.
And he said, you know Riz. Riz from the Flip Squad. I said, okay, cool, boom. Because Riz was part of Funkmaster Flex's crew.
Yeah.
So I went, I called Riz. I said, this is what I'm trying to do. And I went out to a church in Canarsie, Brooklyn. I met them in front of a church in Canarsie, Brooklyn. Must have been God. And I went and DJ Scissorhands asked me to yell something. I never yelled anything before. I mean, I had been in the club going, Hot 97, it's so-and-so night at the Palladium. But I had never been like yelling at this. So I just yelled, hands up. And he said, yell something at this. You know, I was like, say hands up. I was like, all right, cool, hands up. And yeah. Then he was jumping up and down. He said, oh my God, we got our own sampling machine. And then that was it, man. It was off and running from there.
Yeah, no, definitely. The rest is history, as they said. And obviously,
the rest is history, brother. The rest is history.
You went on to do a legendary BAT 106 in the park. You've worked with many, you've collaborated. I mean, that's obviously led you to collaborate with some of the greatest acts that's been around. You know, you've done stuff with what? Buster, Sean Paul, Elephant Man, Timbaland, Babyface. You got your mixtape. You got your own ice cream parlor. I'm seeing your podcast, Hot 97, your Full Throttle Syndicate. I mean, you know, what's the key to you having longevity in the music industry? I mean, that's just, I'm reading some of the stuff you've done. And I know
very simple. Very simple.
Mm.
Be consistent. Keep your word as a man. Whatever you say you're going to do, deliver on it. Show up on time. And go to the phone.
Yeah.
Work hard every day. Don't take it as a joke. And put one foot in front of the other. Because as you put one foot in front of the other, there's little things that are going to happen. And the combination of those little things will make you legendary, I guess.
Yeah, for real. What's been one of the most memorable moments in your career that springs to mind, that remains with you whenever you look back at things?
Blackpool, England. 55,000 people. The lighting ceremony.
Where was that? Blackpool, did you say?
Blackpool, England.
Okay.
The lights, 55,000 people.
Yeah.
Like any other show, you know, opening up for Will Smith, like any other show, no big deal. But my daughter was there.
Yeah.
And she, at the time, she may have been 12 or 13. Okay. And I had been arguing. She had come on a road tour with me. I brought her here with me to go to Amsterdam, Italy. And this stop was like one of the final stops. And we had been arguing all day because she wanted to go outside and be by herself. And I'm like, you in another country. Like, we're not going to revisit the movie Taken here. I don't have the skills to come and get you. You know what I'm saying? Like, all I could do is go on the radio and say, where's my daughter?
Yeah,
and we arguing back and forth and stuff like that. And it was really, really bad for 2 or 3 days. And I brought her out on stage in front of these 55,000 people. And I said, everybody say, hi, Tiana. Hi, Tiana. And I said, Tiana, I brought you out here because Daddy loves you. And he wants everybody to know that he loves you.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, I said, and then there's a part of my show when I'm like, when I say jump, everybody jump, and then bass drop comes on. Mm-hmm. And for her, you know, when we started jumping and bass drop came on and the whole crowd was levitating, just looking in her eyes and seeing that
love.
I think that she really realized who her dad was.
Yeah, in love and affection.
It was the affectionate part of it, but it was also her realizing, oh my God, my dad does this. I think he's some type of nerd. I think he's some type of, like, weird guy. This is what he does.
That's what he does for a living, man.
Yeah, that was one of my favorites.
Nice. Well, it's great to have you back over these shores again. You're performing this Sunday, the 8th of August at the Metrofest 2021. I mean, it's a massive lineup. Fat Joe, Blackstreet, John B, Tony Touch, Eve, Maya, and yourself, Fat Man Scoop. How's it feeling coming back, performing, but importantly, especially after COVID as well, the lockdown?
You have to understand, I spent 13 years of my life going back and forth every Thursday, back and forth. Like, I live on Sunday to Thursday, I live in America, and from Thursday to Sunday, I live in England. And do work and do stuff or whatever I happen to be doing across the world or whatever.
Yeah.
And, I had an entire life over here from family on down. Like, I would spend a lot of my time out here. You know, I don't want to get into it, but I had a personal life out here, everything.
Yeah.
And then that all got shut down. It all got taken away from me. So for me to come back and be able to do this is really a beautiful thing.
For sure, for sure. Before I let you go, I do want to ask you, I've always was curious, how did, I guess, the Crook and Can yourself get the clearance to use Faith?
Never got the clearance.
How?
Only thing I did was go to Puff and ask him.
And he was cool?
At that time, I was on Hot 97. Remember, there was no other radio station in the world that played hip-hop other than Hot 97.
Wow.
So basically, we told you what the...
Yeah.
And not that it was like that. Puff was the man, but it was just when I would go to, I would never clear these records. I would just go to the
place. No.
I would be like, yo, bro, I'm gonna use your record. Cool.
Yeah.
And then it got to the point where the records were so hot, I would just go to them and they'd be like, oh, you gonna use my shit? Yeah.
No doubt,
don't worry, go ahead, do your thing.
You made them songs even bigger than the original.
It got to the point where when I would go to people and say, yo, I'm gonna use your record. Bet. Cool, great, because they knew that the record was going to have an extended life.
For sure. And I'm pretty sure your performance this Sunday as well at the main event, the Metrofest 2021, Trent Park, London, you certainly must be holding up thoughts and prayers for the late Biz Markie as well.
Man. We're going to have to get into that, man. We're going to have to hit, I'm definitely going to have to hit some Biz Markie joints because close friend of mine, up in the Dougie Fresh system with me.
Mm.
Biz was from everywhere. He was from Long Island. He was from Brooklyn. He was from Queens. He was from Manhattan. Biz rolled all around. You never really knew where he was. I mean, of course, he claimed Long Island the most, but, he was there with us in my beginning years, man. And, he will be sorely missed because Biz was an encyclopedia of hip-hop.
Yeah, no doubt.
I mean, songs, he knew the songs. The music, the old school battle tape, he had it all. The flyers, he kept every flyer. He had everything.
Yeah, I heard loads of DJs say he would phone them up and just say to them, do you know this sample and that? But he's a legend, man. And
legend in the game. Bless his life and bless his soul. And I say that from the bottom of my heart. And I mean that because I'm not just saying it as somebody who saw Biz and I knew him. God bless his soul, man.
For sure. Listen, have a great performance Sunday. I won't be there because I got a gig in Bristol, but I know you're going to tear it down. I look forward to watching the clips on the social media. And hopefully when you're in the UK again, we can get up and talk in person. Appreciate your time, Fat Man Scoop.
Thank you. Appreciate it, bro. God bless.
And you. Peace, brother.
Brooklyn Clan, Batman Scoop, Brooklyn Clan.